There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trapp Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the cost needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive, with the Lord's guidance and direction, to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
Wake up and smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped, so you could hold me, this child away.
happy 4th of July. Thank you for joining us here at Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty here in the Philadelphia area. I hope that you tune in, stream in every Friday from 8 until 9 Eastern Standard Time to hear about the great news that we are always sharing with you about your families, how to impact your family to have the best family ever. Today, let's talk about the 4th of July, our country's Independence Day. How exciting. Do you make 4th of July exciting for your kids? Do you make it memorable? Do you do traditional things? Do you bring out all of the red, white, and blue? You should. It gives your family a cohesiveness that you're doing something special together, and I believe it also creates pride and patriotism in your children, and a lot of fabulous memories as well. So this morning, I'm going to share with you some 4th of July things that we do, some activities, books that we read, foods that we make that we enjoy for the 4th of July. And then please stick around because we have Rick Green joining us from Wall Builders. Wall Builders is a wonderful grassroots movement organization that continues to present America's forgotten history and all of our heroes with an emphasis on their moral and the religious and their constitutional heritage, which is something that I believe our country has forgotten. So let's celebrate that today with Rick Green from Wall Builders. He'll be joining us shortly. So, 4th of July, patriotism. Of course, we're all going to try and find a wonderful fireworks show somewhere. But this is truly the birthday of our country. This is when our country, which is like none other, was liberated from England in 1776 in July. And for those of us who live in the Philadelphia area, I hope that you have brought your children to see the Liberty Bell and to hear the story, learn the story of our great Liberty Bell and what an example, what a monument of freedom that Liberty Bell is an example of. So our founding fathers, George Washington, John Hancock, Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Franklin, the Franklin Institute, everything, you know, he was a huge Philadelphian and a founding father. There's so much history here, but they were all real rebels, real pioneers, risking everything to gain all, to gain that independence, Declaration of Independence that was signed. Okay, so here's some fun things to do. I like to do crafts with my children. I went out to the dollar store. It doesn't take a lot of money. You can go to the dollar store. They have a ton of red, white, and blue stuff. And in fact, I didn't really even need to buy much this year because my girls are older and I have tons of red, white, and blue crafts around the house just from Memorial Day crafts and Labor Day crafts and other American holidays. So, but if you don't have anything and this is the first time that you're doing 4th of July crafts with your children, I would encourage you to go to someplace like the dollar store or use your coupons at AC Moore or any other craft store. And one of the things that my little girls love to make is a 4th of July wand. And this is something that they can wave around, but you use straws and then with tape or even some glue, you put paper mache around the straw that you have, and then have the kids cut out red, white, and blue stars from construction paper, or you can even buy little flags and insert them into the top of the straw. Let me tell you something. You really don't need to follow any directions for this. Your children are going to surprise you with how imaginative, creative, and crafty they are. But again, just something that they can wave that has streamers on it. It's really colorful, and they're very safe for your children to have. We love sparklers. We get sparklers. They're not a craft to make, of course, but sparklers are really fun to have and do when it starts getting dusky out right before the fireworks begin. Something else that we do, we have all of the children decorate their bike, and our family has a bike parade. The kids spend hours, and I have so many pictures of my little girls with all of their cousins outside decorating their bikes so beautifully, and there's probably only about 12 little bikes, and the children are aged 2 up to 14 now, but they're so proud when they drive up and down our street that we have. We happen to have a property that just has all family houses on it, and it's very private, and we make a big, huge deal about that. But in your neighborhood, you can have a bike parade for your children. Or I know that in our community, they have a big, huge bike parade with the whole entire community. They have hundreds and hundreds of little kids' bikes. But again, just getting glitter, balloons, streamers, construction paper, and let your children be creative and decorate their bikes. We always decorate our house as well. We have banners outside that we put, and the children put flags around. And I let them do that so that they're able to learn, you know, and feel proud about how they're decorating our home. So decorate your house. Let the kids decorate their bikes. We have tons of red, white, and blue T-shirts, tank top, blue jeans, white button-down shirts. But get out the red, white, and blue to wear the whole weekend. It doesn't just have to be today. It can be the whole entire weekend. Let them wear red, white, and blue to church this Sunday. Then, of course, we have a huge cookout or a barbecue with all of our family and friends. And we do a lot of colorful food with the red, white, and blues. We will do the blueberries, the strawberries, watermelon, because that's easy and it's red, white, and blue. We dip strawberries, which are red, in blue chocolate. No. We dip it in white chocolate, and then we roll them in blue Jimmy. And they are a huge hit when we do that. My sister-in-law always makes a red, white, and blue sheet cake of a flag. So she has the blueberries for the stars, and then the stripes are, of course, strawberries. So again, just having a lot of fun and patriotic theme and just decorating and taking ownership and pride in our country, and share with your children at that time what the stars and the stripes mean for what they stand. It's a great time. Seize every teachable moment with your children. And then when we were in Williamsburg, Virginia a while ago, we picked up a copy of the Declaration of Independence. Certainly you can get this off of the internet. It's all over the place. But read through the Declaration of Independence. Allow your children to at least be able to recognize the Declaration of Independence when they hear it. Sometimes I think that many of us don't know the difference between the Gettysburg Address, the Bill of Rights. So make sure that they understand the Declaration of Independence. This is absolutely one of the quintessential American documents, our founding of this great, great country. Teach your kids about who signed the Declaration and why, you know, that was so important for all of them. You can even teach them some important, interesting facts about each of the signers. When I studied this with my children, each one of the signers' backgrounds is so varied. You know, I think that there are those who believe that all of the founding fathers were white and very wealthy, and that in case is not the truth. Each one of our founding fathers had a very interesting background. There were some who were adopted. There were some who did not have mothers, had stepmothers. Every one of them were self-made men and certainly extremely courageous. So do your own digging, do your own historical research, and identify who our great founding fathers really were. Something else that you can do with the kids that we always do is check out and allow them to do this. Let them go on the internet and check out fun music that you want to play throughout the day. Or we just have a lot of CDs around. Or what do the kids go on all the time? It's called on the computer. It's iTunes. There's a ton of stuff there. My children are way better at all of this stuff than I am. And then there are a lot of really educational, I prefer reading to the kids, but there are a lot of educational quick 15 to 20 minute movies that you can watch with your children. Liberty Kids are one of the series that are very historically sound, and my kids have enjoyed those, and I know that my sister-in-law and her children really enjoy that series. So a book that I enjoy reading with the kids is The 4th of July Story, which was written by Alice Daglish. It's very true to our history, and it does share a little bit about our founding fathers, so you're kind of getting everything into that, the whole story story of freedom, the whole history, the whole background. The other one that I enjoy reading, and I take it out every 4th of July, for my regular listeners, you know that every holiday I have a different book basket that I bring out for my children. I have a Christmas book basket, I have a Memorial Day book basket, Easter book basket. It comes out once a year, the month of the holiday, and then I put it away and I put it back. And I'm always collecting new books, but the reason for that is because I think that the books that I bring out just once a month and then put away are really special to my kids, and they forget that we have them, and it really makes the holiday more special as well. So 4th of July story is one that I read, and the other one that's my favorite is the story of the Liberty Bell, and because obviously that is the core of our nation's birthday, is the Liberty Bell, and it has a very interesting history. And this is also a great opportunity for you to learn about, you know, our flag, which is one of the most important symbols of the 4th of July, which is our flag. And there's a really fun website that I like to go to for the kids, and that's called flagdayactivities.com. It's honoring the Flag Day, obviously, but you'll learn a lot about the flag there. Also, there's another website that I love where you can interact with revolutionary heroes and really, again, just educate your kids about our country's history. And that, again, is at libertieskids.com. And in a few minutes, we're going to have Rick Green join us from Wall Builders. Wallbuilders.com is a resource that I use a lot with my children because they have, I think, over 1,000 documents, might even be way more than that, original documents from our founding fathers. They have journal entries. They have prayer and fasting proclamations. They have diaries. They have letters that were written back and forth from our founding fathers to their wives, to their children, to their siblings. And it really gives you a very true picture. There's no denying when you have an original document and you're looking at that and they're encouraging one another to pray for each other, or they're encouraging one another through Bible verses. There's no denying that this country was indeed founded on Christian, Judeo-Christian principles. And indeed, that is why our country has been so ridiculously blessed above all other countries. In our short 200 years, we have done so much more for not only ourselves, but the whole entire world in 200 years, more than other cultures, more than other countries that have been around for 4,000 or 5,000 years. We've just done so very much, and we feel just so very blessed to be here in the great United States of America. So please enjoy your 4th of July this weekend with your family. And, of course, I would love to hear from you at Carla DeDessi on Facebook about how you are enjoying your 4th of July with your family. And some of the traditions that you do. I want to share with you that my third book in my series, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely, is out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, and Christian book distributors. It is there. You're able to buy it and start celebrating love, life, and family with this new book that has been launched. I'm really proud of it. The illustrations are absolutely adorable. I actually have, my little girls have cousins who were adopted and are African American, and we have brought those two little cousins into this book. So this book is about my little girls, but also about their little cousins, Nene and KK. And again, just the importance of protecting all life, no matter how small. So it's an adorable book about Julia spending the afternoon in her big backyard and learning all about the miracles of life, whether it's little tadpoles and little caterpillars in the backyard, all the way to protecting not only the caterpillars and the tadpoles and little seedlings, but obviously protecting life inside of a mommy's tummy as well. So I hope that you will check out Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely at Amazon. The coloring book is also out, so I recommend buying both and utilizing them. Use them both together to have a lot of fun with your kids, and I just pray that these are great tools for you while you're planting seeds to celebrate life, love, and family in your little kids, so that when they're older, when they're 18 and they're ready to vote and they're starting to make more important decisions, you've already taught them apologetics for kids, and they're going to be able to argue well and understand why they believe what they believe and the reason for the hope that is in them, whether they're going to be defending religious freedoms, they're going to be defending life, they're going to be protecting marriage and family. So we need to start educating our children at a very young age. Again, we're going to be talking with Rick Green from Wall Builders. He is going to be with us in a few minutes. And he's going to be sharing with us the importance of the 4th of July, independence. As people of faith and Christians, it is so important that we celebrate the 4th of July because we have really been liberated twice as Christians. We've been liberated, and we live in a free country, but as Christians, we've also been liberated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have turned from darkness to the light, and that's what's so exciting about the 4th of July. We really have two reasons that we are independent and living in freedom. First and foremost, we are relishing and enjoying the freedoms that this country has to offer, which are above and beyond any other country that we can compare with. And then also we just have freedom in Jesus Christ. So is Rick Green with us this morning? Okay, we're still waiting for him. Let me share with you a little bit about Rick. He's a speaker for Wall Builders, which is a national pro-family organization. The name Wall Builders has been taken from the book of Nehemiah. If you know anything about the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall of the temple in Jerusalem. So Nehemiah led a grassroots movement to rebuild the foundations that had been the strength, the honor, the dignity of that nation of Israel. And Wall Builders identifies with that. And they have been recognized nationally for their work in education, history, law, public policy, integrating the elements of faith and morality throughout all aspects of American life and culture. Much of the uniqueness of Wall Builders' message stems from its massive collection of original documents that I was talking about earlier. They have thousands of original documents from early American history affirming George Washington's declaration that of all the habits and dispositions which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. They have many quotes from our founding father that do not deny that they were indeed of the Judeo-Christian belief and moral system. Rick, are you with us this morning?
Hey, Carla. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining this morning. Happy 4th of July.
Same to you. Great setup on Nehemiah. Could you just introduce me everywhere I go?
I would love to do that.
Let's figure out a way to do that. That was great. You did your homework. I love it.
Yes, I do. Well, I have been a fan of Wall Builders for a very long time. When I was a little girl, my dad used to have books from Wall Builders, believe it or not, by David Barton. So,
yeah, I'll make sure to mention to him that he was the one old enough to have books out when you were a kid.
And that is correct.
I'm going to make sure he knows that.
Make sure that he knows that, because you and I are too young, you know, now.
Hey, but I could say the same thing. I mean, aren't we blessed to have had someone like him to learn from? So that history was not boring. He had a great way of just bringing it to life through the stories of the people instead of just memorizing dates and places and, you know, the typical history thing, which made me hate history until I discovered David Barton. So what a blessing.
Yes, huge blessing. I'm going to introduce you to our listeners quickly, and then I want to ask you a few questions.
Sure.
So Rick Green has served in both the church and the state. You've been a leader not only in your church, but Texas State Representative as well. Are you still the Texas State Rep there?
No, ma'am. Just traveling for Barton now.
Okay, that's what I thought. You've influenced tens of thousands of Americans to become the salt and light in our community, which is our purpose, helping us to understand that we indeed have a dual citizenship and we have responsibilities, both as citizens as heaven and here in the great United States of America. And that is where I would like to begin discussing, Rick. I want you to share with our listeners, because we know that it's hard to get Christians out to vote these days. There were only 24% of us that got up and went out to vote, and we need more of us to get up and go and vote in our Judeo-Christian value system in 2016. We need that to happen. So please explain to us why it is so important that we see ourselves as dual citizens and we cannot take our earthly citizenship lightly.
Well, I mean, first of all, Jesus commanded it. He told us to occupy until he returns. We don't know when that's going to be. No man knows the hour. And it's easy to get caught up in the doomsday approach of, oh, it's all over. Grab your guns and canned food. Go hide out at the ranch. There's nothing we can do. I'm only one vote. And so it doesn't matter. You know what? Even if that was true, which I don't believe that's true, I think there's still plenty we can do to save our country. But even if that was true, you still have to obey the command. You still have to do your part. You still have to be salt and light and represent Christ in everything that we do, including our government. See, our government's different from most that ever existed. I mean, we're not a situation where when we say render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, that means we submit to some monarch and we just pay our taxes and till the land. In America, we are Caesar. So we the people are the government. We the people are in charge. Therefore, if we're going to obey those commands, if we're going to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, we got to figure out what that means. And as a citizen in America, that means we live out our freedom. We don't just enjoy our freedom. We live out our freedom by being good citizens, by voting, by studying the issues, by studying the candidates, by perhaps even running for office and or going and testifying at a committee at your city council or your state legislature. But participating in the process is how you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's in America, and also how you occupy until he returns. And I think another reason people don't do it, not just the doomsday approach, but a lot of people, Christians, don't get involved in the culture because we've been lied to and told that we're not supposed to, that it's a separate yeah. world, that somehow if you're a good Christian, you're only going to go to church on Sunday morning and you know share the gospel 7 days a week, but you're not going to go live the gospel in your business or in politics or in you know whatever arena. And that's just an absolute lie. I mean, the Bible applies to every area of the culture. There's no separation. If you're a Christian, if you believe in God, if you believe in the God of the Bible, then you obey the Bible because you know it's God's word. And it applies, it talks as much about business and politics and those type of things as it does anything else. And those are certainly areas we have abdicated. We've left those arenas over the last couple of years. Part of it, people looking to heaven and thinking God's going to come back tomorrow, and the other part of it thinking, oh, well, I'm not supposed to pay attention to that. That's an evil, you know, secular kind of world. Both of those lies have disempowered the church. But the good news is, in the last, oh, I would say maybe 5-6 years, there's begun an awakening within the church to realize our responsibility, to grab a hold of that responsibility and go out there and live it. And so more and more pastors are preaching application of the word, salt and light. More and more young people are inspired and motivated to accept their purpose and fulfill their purpose in those arenas. I mean, when you have kids 16, 17 years old saying, someday I want to be a Supreme Court justice, that's what God's called me to, or I want to go make movies that will honor God and teach good values, man, that's a turnaround right there. And we do have a generation coming up like that. That's one of the good things that's happening out there.
I think that I agree with you that there's been this fallacy that Christians are not supposed to be in politics and they're not supposed to be in leadership, whether it's on the school board, whether it's the newspaper owner or the movie production company, that somehow that is not where we're supposed to be. But when we look at the Bible, we're supposed to be the salt and the light of the world. It does not exclude politics. And I always bring naysayers to people like Elijah, who went up against Queen Jezebel and King Ahab. I think that it is the Christian's responsibility to go to our leaders and say, you are doing evil. If Christians were not doing that, Rick, we would have not had the abolishment of slavery, I believe, which William Wilberforce was a Christian leader who was instrumental in toppling that. So we understand that throughout all of history, Christians have been at the forefront of the battles against evil, and it's vital that even today we stand up and we say to our leaders that we're not going to vote for you if you are aborting babies and you're not looking at them.
Now you raise a great, great point. I mean, so there's no question slavery would not have been abolished had it not been for the church and for Christianity, and Christian leaders like Wilberforce or here in America, John Quincy Adams fighting for so many years based on his biblical view of that issue, and Lincoln, of course, standing upon, I mean, even with the Emancipation Proclamation, he's standing upon that idea of all men being created equal. He's standing upon a biblical concept of that. Martin Luther King Jr., I mean, we were just standing in his church where he grew up, watching his dad preach, and then where he preached his first sermon, and visiting with Alveda King there, learning that story of how he was able to stand peacefully in the face of violence. And it was all biblical. It was all about his Christianity that allowed him to move the culture in the right place. You don't have a civil rights movement without Christianity. You know, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, Christianity has been the salt and the light. And of course, we're told in the Word, if you've lost your flavor, what good are you? So if we're not being salty, if we're not out there and we're influencing and moving the culture in the right direction and helping to make our country a better place, then what's the point? If we're hiding our light in our churches, if we're just going and keeping it within our four walls, then what's the good? I mean, it really is sad how impotent so much of the church has become, and how little application there is to God's Word in so many churches across the country. So one of the things that we really focus on lately is empowering pastors to get a hold of this message and light up their church in a way that it will be salt and light in the community, and being a black robe regiment. I mean, that's what the founding era was like. And even when you take the Declaration and you look at those words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, and on down the line, I mean, everything, all those phrases that people would recognize were preached from the pulpit first. So we learn from pastors like John Wise, decades before the Declaration existed, the founders were studying and learning from their pastors. We were standing just a couple of weeks ago in Lexington, Massachusetts, for the reenactment on April 19th of that shot heard around the world. And after we watched the reenactment and all the gunpowder and the firing and everything, we went over to the home of Jonas Clark. And here's the pastor. I mean, this is the reason Paul Revere was riding to Lexington, was because John Hancock and Sam Adams were staying at the home of the pastor in that community. And it was that pastor and his sermons that historians said primed the guns that fired that first shot because of his sermons. And we stood there in his office, in his desk there. It was just amazing. And we looked through sermons that Barton had sent with me out of his library of this incredible man, Jonas Clark, preaching God's Word and showing the truth of liberty from God's Word, and that was what ignited the fire of the American Revolution and led us to be a free nation. But it all comes back to that biblical foundation. So if Christians today separate the two, and we allow ourselves to have a government that no longer has the Word of God at the foundation of that government, we will lose the very liberties that we've enjoyed for so many years. It's happening right now. I mean, we see it. Yeah. It's scary. I mean, day after day after day, you see headlines where our government is doing things we would have never dreamed it would have done, but it's really not, shouldn't be shocking, because if you go back 30, 40 years, you can see the progression of us separating our faith and separating Christianity and the Bible from our government and from our culture. And unfortunately, I mean, I'd love to blame the left and blame other people, but Carla, it's our fault. It's the church's
fault. It is our
fault.
We stepped out.
We let it happen.
And I think that right here in Pennsylvania, we had Pastor Muhlenberg. There's a whole township named Pastor Muhlenberg, who from the pulpit has his black robe on, as you stated, the Black Robe Regiment, and he preached about how we must support this revolution, and actually took his robe off said, "Who is with me?" And he had his soldier uniform, his revolutionary uniform on underneath of that. So absolutely, our pastors were breathing salt and light into our culture once upon a time. And I also think that it's really important to understand that I think that a lot of Christians think that when we are on the side of righteousness, that it's going to be an easy battle, mm-hmm. and it's never been that way. When you look at the Old Testament or even the New Testament, Elijah wasn't hiding a lot when he was saying, speaking truth. And John the Baptist, when he went up against Herod, was actually beheaded for speaking truth. Now, it's my prayer that that does not happen to any of us, but certainly our founding fathers who were standing for truth and light were risking everything, and many of them were thrown into jail and lost their lives or lost their positions and their livelihoods. But they understood, as Patrick Henry said, that give me liberty or give me death. And again, I think it's really important to understand that we once believed in this country that our liberties came from the divine, from providence, from God the Father. He gave us all of our liberties. And I think that a lot of people, even Christians in our culture, do not understand that, that they believe that our liberties come from the government versus God.
That's right.
And no man can give us our freedoms and our liberty. They come from God. And like you use the word abdicate, we have abdicated. Christians are responsible. Tell us a little bit about 1954, the Senate bill that was passed that stated that pastors could not run for politics, or they couldn't bring their faith into the political arena or into the church. And have we misunderstood that ruling?
Completely. It's been an absolute lie, and it's had maybe as much of a negative effect on our culture as anything that happened. Unfortunately, as a Texan, I have to admit it was a Texan that caused that. Lyndon B. Johnson had been spoken out against by the pastors in Texas. They knew he was a scoundrel, frankly, and unethical, and spoke out against him in his Senate race. And his retaliation once he got in the Senate was to slip this little rider in on a Senate bill that said you could not, as a church or nonprofit, speak out on political issues, and it created a snowball effect over time. Has never truly been challenged. I mean, we've been trying for, boy, I guess it's been almost 8 years now with the Pulpit Initiative to get the IRS into court where we can prove that this thing is a lie and a paper tiger. Thousands now on Sunday morning, once a year, pastors speak out about politics. They endorse candidates. They do the whole nine. They go beyond what the IRS says the line is and what these groups say is the line is. They take the sermons and they mail them to the IRS and say, please come after me because I want to prove that this is a paper tiger and that you're actually violating my First Amendment rights, both my freedom of religion and my freedom of speech, by saying that I can't speak out on these issues, and they won't do it because they know that even though we've got several thousands doing that now, there's 400,000 churches in America, all the other ones are cowing down to this idea that you got to be silent on Sunday morning. And you gave a perfect example from the founding era. I mean, Muhlenberg not only was not silent, he not only spoke on the issue, he took up arms and went and fought, became one of only 13 guys to make it to major general. I mean, he was a very important revolutionary hero. You can see his painting in the rotunda when you go to the U.S. Capitol, where he's part of that group there at the surrender of Yorktown. I mean, those were the kind of pastors we had, men of mighty nerve, biographers would say about these guys. They weren't they weren't weak, they weren't wimpy, they were incredible, strong men of God. But like you said, they had to sacrifice, and they got even Muhlenberg. I mean, his own brother accused him of not doing what he was supposed to do. It was that same old thing. I mean, nothing new under the sun. Telling him, you're supposed to be preaching the gospel. You're not supposed to be fighting. You shouldn't be getting involved in this. And their letters back and forth are a great example of different views, different Christian views of how you should get involved. And he kept making the point, look, my liberty is as dear to me as it is to any man. I'm a dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of earth. And I love my liberty as much as anybody else. I'm going to go fight. Fortunately, he won his brother over, I think not just from his persuasion, but his brother had said, you know, his brother was a pastor in New York, and he thought, well, you know, Muhlenberg was pastor in Pennsylvania and Virginia, and he said, you know, you think, you know, you've got the rabble-rousers there in Virginia where you are, and you've got problems, but we don't have problems. Well, it didn't take long. The British came into his hometown, kicked him out of his church, desecrated his church, and so the other Muhlenberg, Frederick Augustus, ends up joining up, getting involved, and he became the first Speaker of the House. So he and mm-hmm. John Peter were both two of the congressmen that actually gave us the First Amendment. You say, wait a minute, these are pastors that gave us the First Amendment. Surely they did not intend for that to somehow keep people from speaking out on their faith or living their faith. And, Carla, there's a real danger right now with what's happening. I mean, Obama and others are trying to change it from freedom of religion to freedom of worship. And the difference in the two is, and that's why they always use that phrase freedom of worship now, is that they want to be able to say, okay, on Sunday morning you can go in and live your faith, but don't you take it to work with you on Monday. Don't let it influence how you run your business, whether or not you pay for abortions or whether or not you participate and perform in same-sex marriages and all those things. You can't do that. You can have worship on Sunday, but you can't go out the other 6 days of the week and live out your religion. That is not what the founders intended. That freedom of religion, that freedom of conscience, to make your own decisions, to live by what your strongly held beliefs are, that's the fundamental freedom. That's why it's the first one in the Bill of Rights. And, man, it's scary how far that's going. That idea that you were saying of of sacrifice, and it is happening. I mean, we have Christians right now that because they have stood up for their faith, they're being fined, they're being run out of business, literally shut down out of business, threatened with jail. Those kinds of things are happening in our country, and it's happening because Christians have not been involved. I firmly believe with my whole heart that if Christians will get involved, we can turn that around. This is not, you know, it doesn't have to be our future. We can change this, but we've got to live out our faith. We've got to be just like Muhlenberg today, and pastors and Christians have got to start being that salt and light again.
Mm-hmm. Well, right here in Pennsylvania, we had the case of the Conestoga nursery with Hobby Lobby that went up to the Supreme Court because they were being asked to provide that morning after pill in Obamacare. And they said, no, we can't do it because Conestoga is a Mennonite family. And we know that Hobby Lobby are wonderful Christian people. And indeed, they did win. But I don't, you know, evil does not sleep. I think that we have to stay with our eyes wide open as Christians because I somehow feel like that fight is not over, Rick.
No doubt, no doubt. And it's an old quote. I know everybody uses it by Edmund Burke, but, I mean, the only thing that it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing, and that's what we've been doing. And when I say we, I mean, there have obviously been great warriors fighting, but they've been so outnumbered, and the rest of us laid down our arms for so long. But if we'll pick them up, and we'll fight. And our arms today, the beauty of this is we don't have to have a revolution with bullets. We can have a revolution with ballots. I mean, those founding fathers, because they stood up, because they signed the Declaration, because they pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, and then gave their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, because they did all those things, they put a system in place where we have the peaceable means at our fingertips. All it takes is a little bit of our time. So lives for us is our time, simply going out and voting or just posting the messages on Facebook, speaking truth, influencing the people within our realm and our circle. Lives, fortune, spend a little bit of your money investing in freedom. Pick out a presidential candidate that is standing for biblical truth. And this year you've got lots of great options to do that with. This is not one of those situations where you're going, is there anybody that's running?
No,
that
we
I
have
support?
A lot.
Oh, there's
you
a
know,
lot of great
I
ones.
Think all 16 of our candidates are pro-lifers, which really makes me very happy.
I was interviewing a guy the other day on our Wall Builders radio program, and he was saying, you know, just think about it. He said the difference between 2008 and now, you could take someone that's number 8, 9, or 10, or even 11 or 12 in the race right now, and they would still be a great president. You know, it's not like you only have one or two. You can go way down the list.
So
I mean,
many.
Bobby Jindal's probably like number 9 right now or 10. Here's a great man of God that's been a great governor. You got, I mean,
absolutely
great options.
Ben
I mean,
Carson, Carly Fiorina, Chris Christie. I would take any of them.
That's really what I said.
People say, who are you going to vote for, Carla? I said, whomever is, you know, against the other side there.
Right.
Because I really believe that we have a lot of really good candidates, and I, like you, want to encourage every person to exercise their right to vote. Have you read the book by the late Dr. James Kennedy, How Would Jesus Vote? What a great book.
Yeah, no doubt. There's one of those great warriors I was talking about that, you know, you had guys like Kennedy and Falwell and others that had kind of the finger in the dike, but they had the vision to educate a generation of Americans. In fact, I think Dr. Kennedy probably moved more copies of David Barton's book Original Intent than all the rest of us combined. I mean, it was just phenomenal how much he shared that truth of where we came from. And Carla, that's one of the things, if your listeners, if you've got people listening right now that are saying, okay, yeah, this sounds great, I'm motivated to do something, I don't want to lose my country, but what can I do? I'm one person. Everyone out there can take some of their time every week and just get educated about these things and then share that good news and that truth with others. It's all right there at our fingertips. It is so easy today to dive into truth. And whether you go to wallbuilders.com and read the articles that David puts up there, or you get our Constitution class on DVD. We've even got fun ways of doing this. We've got a TV show that's coming out, actually, well, it'll be next week on NRB Network and other networks around the country called Chasing American Legends, where we make it fun to go to places like, you know, Muhlenberg's church. We went to Muhlenberg's church where he preached that sermon in Woodstock, Virginia, and we went to, you know, the place where Patrick Henry grew up and learned how to be a great orator in that church of Samuel Davies. We went to that place of the first shot. I mean, the Alamo, all kinds of cool places. But every time we do that, we take the audience with us, and there's a lesson there of God's hand in the founding of our country and in our freedoms. When we stand in that church of Martin Luther King, we talk about why it was his Christian faith, as we talked about earlier, and then we take away lessons. So we're not just studying the past. We're finding hope for the future and saying, how do we apply the lessons of the past? How do we apply a biblical and a historical perspective to save our country? But we do it in a fun and exciting way, chasingamericanlegends.com, if people want to know more about it or see what station it's on in their area. But, Carla, there's a lot of good stuff happening. There's so many people now that are standing up and speaking out, running for office. These kids, I'm telling you, they're amazing. We do Patriot Academy every year, where we bring in these young people to state capitals across the country, and these 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds are learning a biblical worldview of government. They're applying it there at that state capital. Then they're going home and running for office. They're winning state legislative races. They're running presidential PACs. They're making movies. They're running businesses. I mean, folks can focus on negative and be depressed, or they can let the negative wake them up and then focus on all these positive aspects of what's happening in a good way for our country.
You know, and I think it's so vital to remember that the Israelites established the first republic. This is how God set up government, that it was to be ruled by the people, for the people.
That's right. Choose out from among you leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. I mean, that's local, county, state, federal government. They even told, Exodus has the perfect description of how to find a good candidate. It's a four-step process that we try. In fact, every year I analyze presidential candidates on these four things. Are they honest, right? Are they men of truth, as the Bible tells it? Do they have a biblical worldview? Do they fear the Lord? Do they hate covetousness, which means, do they not, a lot of politicians today, they want the job so bad, they want the shrimp and caviar, they want their name to be known, that's what they care about. Well, that's not what you want. You want a candidate that is almost reluctantly in the process because no one else can go do the job, and they've got to go do it to serve, so they're willing to sacrifice, so they're not coveting that job or that perception. But the funny thing, not funny thing, the important thing, Carla, is that it starts off by saying able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. That part, able, we have forgotten for a long time. We think just because a candidate stands up and maybe says some of the right things or has the right convictions, that's the person that we should go support. They've got to be capable. So you need someone that is capable of speaking and influencing and persuading and moving the culture in the right direction, capable of raising the money necessary to win a race, and capable of governing, just having that skill set of being able to put teams together and effectively move the culture in the right direction. And if somebody's thinking, well, yeah, but there's nobody like that, that is not true. Like we said, lots of presidential candidates that have all of those four things. We're raising up that generation through Patriot Academy that certainly has all those four things, running for council, city council, and all these local races. So they're out there, but use that biblical command and follow that example that we were given when you're choosing those candidates. And, by the way, if there's not a perfect candidate, nobody there, which there is not, you're never going to find someone you agree with 100% of the time. You do the best you can with what you got, where you are. You pick the one that is most fitting all four of those things. I've never found a candidate yet that I agree with 100%. There's one person on this planet that I agree with 100% of the time, and that's my wife, because she's right whether she's right. You know what I mean? Anyway, just choose the best you can out there, folks.
Rick, just to follow up, I write a children's series. It's an apologetic children's series for how they should be voting, because I firmly believe that from the ages to 5 to 10 is when we need to be planting seeds of celebrating love, celebrating family, celebrating life. And the Bible tells us everything how to do that. And you just were stating to us Exodus 18:12, which is in my book, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely, which states, "You shall select from all the people able men," which you were just stating, "such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers." So I think that that's a great spot to close today, and wish everyone a very happy 4th of July. Share with us again, Rick, how we can connect with you and Wall Builders.
Wallbuilders.com, and then also ChasingAmericanLegends.com. That's for the TV show, and there'll be listings of where they can get it locally. Easier one if they just need it, since we've been to rickgreen.com. I'll have links to all of those things. And really want to encourage your young people, too, to check out Patriot Academy and have an opportunity to come learn how to be a leader.
Yes, I definitely will check that out with my little girls, rickgreen.com. That's an easy way to learn all about these things. And congratulations to your television series, and I'll just be praying for continued fruit in your organization's life. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a very happy 4th with your family.
Thanks, you too, Carla. Keep churning out those books, too. We got to teach them while they're young.
That's right. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
That was Rick Green. What a fabulous interview with him from Wall Builders out of Texas. So much rich knowledge that he has. I want to encourage you to go to wallbuilders.com, educate yourself so that you can educate the little ones in your life, that this country was indeed founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Many of our founding declarations and documents have come from pastors and come from biblical teachings, especially the Declaration of Independence. Happy 4th. Join us next Friday here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. This is Carla Dedessi with Your Family Matters.
There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets. You're the
God of this. Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the cost needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.